Tiafoe now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Panterita! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, it's game on here on ESPN 97.5. Behind the glass tonight, as always, Andrew Carlson. And a big shout-out to Victor Ariza as well here. We welcome you into the show. A lot going on here tonight. Do want to take phone calls tonight about a number of topics. It's 713-780-3776 throughout the show. Voice is struggling a little bit, so you can come to my aid here tonight. Besides, I want to hear what's on your soccer minds. Big shout-out here to our sponsor, presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm, Advantage BMW Midtown, King's Court, down in Edo, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, which was in celebration this past Sunday with Liverpool's results, and Cube 57, the home of the Houston Dynamo broadcasts. All right, we have a number of things on the docket tonight. We can talk Dynamo on the road at Los Angeles. I posed the question, are they a better road team? The answer for me is a solid yes, and they will be a better road team this year, barring injury. I think they've grown a couple of inches with Kiki Struna, Matias Vera, Minor Figueroa. They looked more assured on the road, despite the fact that they lost 2-1. So, do I think the Houston Dynamo are a better road team? And will they be a better road team in 2019? I say yes. What do you say, Dynamo fans? 713-780-3776. Now, look, AJ De La Garza had a tough night. It happens to professional athletes. It happens to radio hosts and TV hosts. It happens to every single human being. AJ was involved in a Twitter exchange with a fan, which I thought was awesome. The fan said, AJD, and he tagged AJ De La Garza on this, cost us the game with blank defending tonight. AJ De La Garza responded with, you're right. I will take this one on the chin and learn from it. And what AJ did was AJ engaged with a fan. And the fan used originally some language that he was embarrassed about. And the fan came back and said to AJ, I still value you as a player. I was just upset and let my anger get the best of me. I'm sorry. I know you'll bounce back next game. AJ De La Garza then comes up with this gem of a beauty of a response to this fan. And he says, and by the way, most guys are going to just blow the fan off. AJ comes and says, it's all good to this guy. Okay, now this is the guy who slammed him for blank defending. He says, it's all good. I'm glad to see we have fans that hold me accountable when it's not good enough. Now, if the fan said it was a rough night of defending, that's fair game. Okay, this is why you're a professional athlete. AJ De La Garza has been criticized before. AJ De La Garza has won MLS Cups. It's part of being a professional athlete and someone that's in the public eye. But what he did was, he just did player-fan relations. And man, I wish we had more of that. We're going to have, we need more of this. And I just thought, AJ, that was a brilliant exchange with a fan. And that is, by the way, how you earn the respect of fans also. The ones that go over the top and are crazy, not so much. So, that said, tonight, Jason Longshore, who does the color analyst work on the radio for Atlanta United, he's going to be on the show tonight. We're going to talk about why what's going on in Atlanta is actually healthy and that we wish we had more of that in other markets of Major League Soccer. I mean, this criticism of Frank DeBoer. You know, it's been good times down there under Tata Martino and Miguel Almiron. It's a change in system now. It's a change in personnel on the field. And it's taking Frank DeBoer a while to get it going. And people, in many ways, are not happy about what's going on with Atlanta United. But guess what? They're in the news every day. They're being talked about every single day. In fact, the Atlanta Constitution Journal or the Atlanta Journal Constitution, whatever it is, the lead writer, I think his name is Doug Roberson or Robertson. The headline on his article is about the tactical setup for Atlanta United. I wish we could get there. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. So let's get some thoughts on the Dynamo 2-1 loss at Los Angeles. I had some people who said nothing different. No, absolutely there's a lot different. You're not watching closely. 713-780-3776. Look, they had better possession. They had a higher line of pressure for longer moments in the game. They had a different road attitude, and the experience of Struna and Minor Figueroa was a calming presence. It stood out. This can be a better road team. This is a team that can win five games on the road this year. We will also talk tonight MLS expansion and training compensation. We will get back to that without a doubt here on this program tonight. Sofia Huerta, who had the game-winning goal for the Houston Dash at Sky Blue FC in New Jersey. First Dash win for James Clarkson. They've got 4 points in two games. She'll be on the show tonight. And then also Warren Barton, who I've gotten to know very well over the years now with the work at Fox. Warren Barton will come on the show. And we're going to talk about, how Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp have really separated themselves as managers in a very difficult time to be a manager with social media, players constantly wanting to move places. And dare I say it, but I did say it, and I'm going to ask him this question. Is Manchester United a real destination now for players anymore? I mean, for the top elite players, you know, they all want to go to Real Madrid and Barcelona. Dare I say it? So anyway, that's what we got on the show tonight, as well as, so we got Warren, Sofia Huerta, Jason Longshore, and Kiki Struna will be on the show as well. And we're going to talk to Kiki Struna about how they defended Zlatan Ibrahimovic. 713-780-3776. All right. So let's go to a little bit of training compensation. Because it's come out that MLS has decided that clubs and academies are going to seek training compensations and solidarity payments when academy players are signed by teams outside the United States. There's a big change here. A lot of this change is to make sure that you can control your assets, which are kids coming through your academies. A lot of this is about the fact that guys like Weston McKennie just skipped out and MLS and FC Dallas got nothing for them. So this would be for players that are part of an MLS academy, have made the choice to sign their first pro contract with a foreign club. Compensation is covered by FIFA regulations for player transfers. These are compensation and solidarity payments. Training compensation is the first contract that they would sign, 5% goes back, 5% of that first contract will go back to clubs that have played a part in that player's development. The transfer fee or the solidarity payment is to clubs. Excuse me, is the clubs who developed these players. So this is an interesting moment for Major League Soccer. And if you remember, I had Rob Moore of On Target Sports Management on the show, who handles Christian Pulisic. Let's run a couple of sound bites here because these are interesting from an interview I did with Rob Moore. And now, let's remember, this is back in 2017. So, Rob Moore proposes that the training compensation payment should be on the back end. Listen to this from this soundbite. This is 2017, my interview with Rob Moore, who handles Christian Pulisic.
Me personally, it's not to say that I'm against clubs being compensated for developing young players. Of course I believe that. I used to be a club owner myself previously. But my suggestion when I spoke to Sunil Gulati about this, I said, Sunil, they shouldn't be chasing the training and development compensation and creating a barrier to entry for the young Americans to Europe. What they should be really pushing for is a bigger payment of the solidarity percentage that then gets paid. Because, you know, there's two payments, Glenn, that get made in professional soccer. In the first stage, there's the training and development compensation that you pay a club to. You pay a club for signing, for when the player signs his first professional contract. You have to go pay a certain amount of clubs that the player has played for in his youth. Now that formula is pretty expensive, okay, when you're making an international transfer. The second thing is, between the ages, I think it is of 21 and 28, somewhere in that range, 10% of all transfer revenue when a player gets sold. So the player is sold for $1 million. 10% is held back of the transfer amount, or 5%. I think it's 5 or 10%, and that amount then is again divided amongst all the clubs that he's previously played for. So my point is this. Don't go and charge on the way in, because you're going to stop deals getting done. Rather, give the player the chance to succeed, and when he has succeeded, then share in a greater percentage than what the current percentage is. That's what I believe, because then clubs look at this and they say, well, I don't mind paying for somebody that's made the grade. I don't mind it. But on the other hand, if they've got to pay on the way in and they've got to take a risk on somebody who might never make it, well, that's then a different matter. And that's when players start getting lost and opportunities in their careers start getting lost.
So Rob Moore thinks the payment should be made on the back end, because he's basically, I think, like some people saying, this could be a barrier to players going overseas. Now, what could happen here in academies? You could see potentially some avoiding going to MLS academies, some of the better players, and going to non-MLS affiliated academies, so that their barrier to going to Europe would not be prevented from the standpoint of maybe somebody not being as appealing because they're asking for a front-end payment. So Rob Moore says it should be about the back-end payment after the player has made it. Listen to what he says on Christian Pulisic. If Pulisic didn't have the dual passport and didn't have the opportunity to get over to Europe, this is pretty remarkable.
Glenn, here's something that will shock you, okay? And this is just my personal opinion. If Christian Pulisic had only a U.S. passport, and at the time Christian Pulisic turned 18, I would be expecting that he would be a USL player in America. I do not believe that he would have had opportunities to play as a regular MLS player at 18 years old. That's my firm belief. People will laugh at that, say, how is that possible? He was already on the way to becoming a regular at Dortmund at 18. How can you say something like that? But it's a fact, because the history is there. There aren't any players that at 17, 18 have been regular players, starting lineup players in MLS.
Yeah, he's right. So Rob Moore says if Christian Pulisic stayed in the United States, he'd likely be in the USL. Here's what Rob Moore said about US and MLS clubs and potentially missing the bigger picture.
And I think that the group of clubs chasing this with U.S. soccer have completely missed the point of the whole exercise. And I think that U.S. soccer would actually do well to look at this and say, we can't afford for less of our players to have the chance to go to Europe to develop at the highest level and ultimately come back and represent our country as better educated, better developed young men.
That was Rob Moore, and he is a part and head man of the management team of Christian Pulisic. That was some interesting stuff. Now, remember, that was 2017, and look where we are now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Major League Soccer and consequence. Because, you know, this past weekend, I'm watching LAFC, and I'm going, right now they're the standard bearers after 9 games. The fact is, if they go through the season with the best body of work, what does it get them? Oh, yeah, it gets you home field advantage in the playoffs, and it gets you a bye, which is not necessarily an advantage, getting a bye heading into what is the second season in the playoffs. So is there any way outside of the normal argument about promotion and relegation right now to add some mechanisms that would create more consequence create more rivalry, more healthy pressure? Answer is money. Going to take a break. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They are presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And we thank John and his firm. They are bilingual. You get in any sort of accident, they're going to be there to represent you. And they're going to do it for you 24-7 nights and weekends. DaspitLaw.com. That's why you're listening to Soccer on the Radio. And we appreciate it. And also a quick shout out to Advantage BMW Midtown, my friends, Philip and Justin. We'll take a break. Loyal soldiers while these other thorns are rosy.
And if you never know who you can trust, then ESPN 97.5.
With bold style.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Low this time, the shot, the goal! Jorginho Wijnaldum, beautifully worked by Liverpool. Release mixed with ecstasy. Another small step on the title trail for the men in red.
Alfred. Ali.
Eriksen! Late, dramatic, emphatic, and how significant it could prove to be.
Zuma making a darting near post run, the ball over him. Punched away by De Gea. Back in from Digne.
In from Lucas Digne. It is 3-0. It just goes from bad to worse for Manchester United.
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game on.
With Game On for 90. Game on,
Dominating the airwaves right now in Major League Soccer is expansion. Growth in different cities plus this $200 million expansion fee. Now, you fast forward to Sunday night on Fox. As I watched the excitement and the entertainment of LAFC in Seattle this past Sunday night, some thoughts came to mind. Here was LAFC, full house, beautiful stadium, amazing fan base, all put together very quickly. A blend of talented, skilled players on both teams. LAFC right now, after 9 games, a standard bearer, despite what Bob Bradley's trying to say and downplay that like any manager would. So let's just say that LAFC plays the most consistent football over 2019. They win the Western Conference. What is their reward? What really is the reward for those that win their conference? You go into a second season in the playoffs, you will get home field advantage, and you will get a bye. And some will say, well, a bye in some ways can be a negative coming back from an off weekend. You're potentially going to play with teams that have had subpar seasons. So here's what happens. You win the conference, and the team that ends up seventh and probably doesn't deserve to be in the playoffs is close to being in almost the same position as you are. There is a lack of consequence in MLS, and it's got to be addressed from a competitive standpoint because I'm worried fans could become disinterested, like they have in certain markets. NBA's got the same problem. Somehow, our thought has to come back to competition, a genuine dislike for opposing teams. Additional healthy pressure is needed for the MLS product, and that's kind of Game On for 90 there, and I guess I would continue on to say, well, what would that incentive be? Do you give a monetary reward to the team that wins the conference in either the East or the West, both of them? What about a monetary award for 1, 2, and 3, and 4, finishing 1, 2, and 3, and 4? Got if people, if they're thinking they could win extra dollars on the last day of the season, you might see a push from the increased pressure. But we have to stop this insanity of, quote, we just want to make the playoffs and see where it goes from there. There are too many fallback positions still. And I think it leads sometimes to kind of a silent, clandestine apathy during the regular season. What would the mechanisms be that you would institute? 713-780-3776. I understand promotion and relegation. But without promotion and relegation, what would it be? Would it be bonuses individually, more larger team bonuses? We did pull some numbers on, let's just get these here, on what some of the fees are. So the CONCACAF Champions League, if you win first in CONCACAF Champions League, which, by the way, Rayados and Tigres tonight at 8:30. First place is $500,000. Second place is $300,000. It's not huge prize money to Tigres and Rayados, but it's the bigger prize. It's being called the CONCACAF Champions League champions that they're after. MLS Cup winners, according to the CBA in 2015, $275,000. The runner-up got $80,000. Supporter Shield, $130,000. And I think qualifying for the playoffs, you got $20,000. Lamar Hunt, U.S. Open Cup champion, Dynamo, got $300,000. Is it time for more financial incentive and motivation for the top four teams in the East and Western Conference? Because Supporter Shield is secondary to the MLS Cup. And, of course, that's the way maybe we want it. But that doesn't help the competitive angle during the regular season. I want more genuine dislike. And, actually, I'm looking forward to seeing LAFC flip it around and go to play Seattle on Sunday. But the reward for putting together the best team and the most competitive roster has to be rewarded. We need a spike in this league. So there you have it. And as much as we're blown away by the LAFCs and the Minnesota United situation and Atlanta United and Seattle, and maybe Minnesota United's more about the stadium and their growth, there are a lot of markets here that are not drawing. Okay, we are struggling to draw in Houston. Dallas is struggling to draw. Colorado, Columbus, New England. These are markets that need relevancy. They need it bad. They need the boost. They need the challenge. What is the boost? The boost is consequence. The boost is healthy pressure. I mean, I look in an article and the front page, the article in the Atlantic Constitution Journal, and we're going to have Jason Longshore on a little bit later, who's the color analyst for Atlanta United on the radio. They're questioning the tactics of Frank DeBoer. Doesn't happen in many MLS markets. Pressure, relevancy, we got to get there. We're not going to get there by sitting pat. I would love to see monetary reward for finishing in the top four in conference play. Luis M., thank you very much for tagging us on Facebook. It says, greetings, Glenn. Thanks for being the voice of Houston soccer. Thank you for listening, Luis. Chip, hi, Glenn. Drowning my Manchester United sorrows. Corey R. says, I'm sure you saw MLS changed its tune on training composition and solidarity payments. We should have a ruling on the Yedlin case any day now, which will have huge implications for non-MLS clubs. Wasn't really mentioned along with MLS wanting training compensation. Hey, Glenn, any belief that United can get a result against City? There's always belief. It's a local derby. If players can't respond to that game tomorrow, I don't know what they can. Mark W., Manchester City or Liverpool, who's going to win the Premier League? Wow. You know what? We got to dip into that tonight. I got to look at the final fixtures, and we'll respond to that. I've also got tickets for FC Bayern and Real Madrid, so stay aware of that. We have Columbus Crew tickets. We have Houston Dash tickets, and we got a lot to do here tonight on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. By the way, Juventus is not coming to the United States to play in the ICC. And the reason is the ongoing Cristiano Ronaldo rape allegation case in Las Vegas. And it's clear Juventus not going to come here. Las Vegas police put out a warrant for his DNA. Juventus is going to play in Asia. Cristiano Ronaldo, again, and Juventus not coming to the U.S., but going to Asia. And you look a little deeper into that, the Business Insider has a pretty incredible chronological order of this thing. It's funny, too, because Cristiano Ronaldo has been linked with potentially playing for Miami and David Beckham's team. So, see where that all goes. But that could be a situation where he's never allowed in the United States again. He will not get extradited by Portugal because he is obviously good for business and their biggest star. But I don't know. That one's a weird one. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776. So again, a little bit later on, by the way, Juventus won the Serie A for, what was it, the seventh straight time or eighth straight time? Would Juventus have won the Serie A even without Ronaldo? It's a really interesting question to think about. Would Juventus have won the Serie A even without Ronaldo this year? PSG wins French League One. What else is new? So, I think that's interesting to contemplate. Cristiano Ronaldo was brought to Juventus to win the Champions League till they ran into Ajax. And what can you say about the football that Ajax played? All right, speaking of international football right now, sixth caller at 713-780-3776. How about a pair of tickets to the International Champions Cup, FC Bayern, Real Madrid, right here in Houston. Sixth caller at 713-780-3776. You will go to Energy Stadium. You will see FC Bayern, Real Madrid, Saturday, July 20th. Sixth caller right now at 713-780-3776. Man, I love giving tickets away. So much fun. So much fun. We got more to give away tonight here, but we went with, look at these phone lines lighting up like crazy. The MLS Players Association came out and said today's announcement, and this is, again, regarding training compensation, so I want you to hear what their approach is. Today's announcement by MLS regarding training compensation and solidarity payments is a step backward for the development of soccer in the United States and Canada. It's an effort by the league to inhibit player choice, does nothing to address the development of youth soccer, and makes plain MLS selective application of international rules to suit its own agenda. Now, the other thing is, though, if you've developed a player and you've had him in your system, don't you deserve some compensation? I like the Rob Moore approach. You don't inhibit anybody from going overseas if that small percentage of players has opportunity and you get your compensation based on their success over there and if they make the first team. 713-780-3776. There is so much money in this game. There's so much turf. There are so many turf wars around the sport in this country. There's lawsuits. You name it, U.S. soccer is involved in a number of lawsuits, including one with Relevant Sports right now, because I think some games have apparently been blocked. Competition. Remember, we were told we were going to have a Spanish La Liga regular season match played here in the United States. I think that one got blocked and stopped. So, it's all interesting. Chelsea 2-2 with Burnley. What a nightmare for Chelsea. Liverpool 2-0 over Cardiff City this past weekend. Milner and Wijnaldum. Here's what Jurgen Klopp said post-match about Liverpool. Because, look, I'm talking to Warren Barton later on the show of Fox Sports, played for Newcastle. I am just so impressed, amazed at the job guys like Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola are doing to keep players engaged and keep them consistent. And who wouldn't want to play for Jurgen Klopp, right? I had this discussion with a buddy of mine today when I was driving today. I said, how inspirational is this guy? This guy, as a man manager, has to be unbelievable. I would love to follow this guy around and watch him address his players in the locker room and on a field. He's on another level. There's no question. German that comes, fully embraces himself in the Liverpool history and understanding of it. Pretty remarkable. So here's what Jurgen Klopp said about staying focused post-match.
People look at me, I was talking about, and do you think about Barcelona already or some bullshit like that? So we will be completely focused on Huddersfield, but until then we have to train, recover, rest, and make ourselves ready. And I know on Wednesday is a game. I know that we had to play that game as well. And so if that happens, if United gets a point or whatever, and we win Huddersfield and go to Newcastle after Barcelona and are half... think we have it halfway or whatever, then we get the knock there. It's all difficult. We just have to stay focused on our things, and that's what worked really well so far, and I don't see any reason why we should change that.
All right, that was Jurgen Klopp, and Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool continue to fight it. Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool continue to fight it out with Manchester City for the Premier League title. It's going to come down to that final day. That is when what one believes here. As we take a break, 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. I got a pair of tickets. Dynamo Columbus Crew this weekend, by the way. You can also catch it on Cube 57. Eddie Robinson, myself, and Cindy Bourbano on the call. Pre- and post-game show. 713-780-3776. Pair of tickets to the Dynamo Columbus Crew. Also, the place to be in Edo, Kings Court, before the Dynamo games. 903 Hutchins. That's where El Bantayon hangs out. 13 monitors for all your soccer watching desires. They cover leagues from around the world. Rooftop deck, spectacular. Get down there, British and Indian pub style cuisine. Say hello to Megan and Jay. KingsCourtTXHouston.com. Caller number 6. You get a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Columbus Crew.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Time now for Glenn to name today's big winner.
The winner takes it all. You know you're looking at a winner, winner, winner.
Because we're a winner. All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
That is hot chocolate. Everyone's a winner. Michael Carroll, extraordinaire with his production.
Give Sophia a couple minutes, she said. She said she was merging the calls. I think she should be good. Let me, I'll talk to her for just a
second. So the winner today is Tottenham Hotspur, 1-0 win over Brighton. And Spurs get it in the 88th minute from Christian Eriksen. Is that one of the most underrated players in the Premier League, Christian Eriksen? What a talent he is. Spurs with 78% of the possession. 29 shots to 6, 5 on goal. And it takes them the 88th minute at home to finally beat Brighton. And how important that is in the Premier League race. So Christian Eriksen... Spurs, you're part of our winner's segment today, brought to you by Hugh O'Connor's Pub, 7620 Katy Freeway, the Marquee Entertainment Center, 18 TVs, big screen, Houston LFC home, and our good friend Peter, who formerly ran the Gorgeous Gale. All right, let's talk some women's soccer, because this summer, the Women's World Cup will take place in France. You're going to be able to catch all these games on Fox Sports, and... Well, the Houston Dash are full of a number of international players. The young lady about to join us right now, Sofia Huerta, has played for both Mexico and the United States, scored the game-winning goal against Sky Blue FC on the road as the Houston Dash got their first win in 2019. Sofia, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's just talk about getting a game winner here on the road and getting that first road win. That's a nice 4 points to start the year for you guys.
Yeah, I think any time that we can get points on the road, honestly, even if it's a tie, is a good thing. And getting a win was, you know, everything that we needed starting the season. And especially getting the goal in the last, 10 minutes of the game is always super exciting as well.
So you scored, I believe, six goals last year for the Dash upon coming over. What's different this year under the new manager, James Clarkson?
I think a lot of things are different. Like you said, I got traded last year to Houston, so I only was here for about 4 months or so, 3 or 4 months. But, he just seems like he knows his stuff. He knows soccer really well. I know he's been in Houston for a long time, involved with soccer, and so he knows, it seems like he knows a lot, and he's really a player's coach. He cares a lot about us, and he says kind of the right things, and that's always great to have as players, to have a coach who really knows what they're talking about. So far it's been really good, and I'm excited to see what we do this season under him.
Now, when a new coach comes in, obviously everybody's got to reestablish themselves to him, right? So that in itself was probably very healthy in preseason, right?
Yeah, it's a good thing, though. I just think, like you said, everyone has to reestablish themselves. So everyone's working really hard and it's super competitive. And, the level definitely raises. So it was good this preseason. I thought we all did pretty well. I mean, it always sucks when the international players have to leave for, a couple weeks at a time. But it was a really competitive preseason, which set us up for the start of the season.
Sofia Huerta joining us, had the game-winning goal against Sky Blue FC on the road this weekend. The Houston Dash, by the way, are going to be right here, and they're going to be playing the North Carolina Courage, the defending NWSL champions. That's a game you're not going to want to miss. Sunday night at 5 o'clock. And be ready, because this next break I'm going to be giving some tickets away on behalf of Sofia. So I want to take you back to something you just said. This is going to be kind of a strange year because it is a World Cup year, and the Houston Dash has six, seven international players that could be gone, including yourself. This is kind of a strange year, right?
Yeah, my first year in the league was also a World Cup year, and it's strange. You can play up to like 12 games without, a lot of players, especially us. Like you said, we have a lot of players who play internationally on Canada, England, and even one of our rookies plays on Jamaica, so they'll all be gone. But the good thing about it is, everyone prepares for this. We know it's an odd year, so the coaching staff is doing a good job of bringing in people who aren't going to be gone and setting us up for success for those, 6 to 12 games where they could be not playing in the games this season. So I think we're prepared. It is a really, really weird year. But I think that Houston Dash is one of the better teams. When the international break is going on, when the FIFA World Cup is going on, we have some players who could honestly be at the World Cup but just, weren't chosen for whatever reason. So I think we're going to have a really good team.
All right, now I know I called some of your games for the United States Women's National Team, I think on Fox. Tell me about the switch from Mexico, because you had played for Mexico, then you made the switch to the U.S., and how that comes about, because that's a very heavy decision to make, right?
Yeah, I think my situation was just a little, of course, was a hard decision to make, but I had kind of made that decision a long time before I had to change affiliations. I was getting called into the Mexican team when I was a freshman in college, and then I kind of knew after I played for them that I loved the opportunity. It was awesome. I got to go to the U-20 World Cup. I got to, compete in a tournament in Brazil with the full team, and I loved every second of it. But just, growing up in the United States, I always had the dream to put on the U.S. jersey. So I made that decision shortly after I played with Mexico when I was 19, and I was just kind of waiting for the opportunity to come to the United States. So even though I didn't switch affiliations until, last summer or two summers ago, I had kind of made up in my mind 6-7 years ago that I was going to go for my dream of playing for the U.S. team. But making the switch, making that decision 5-6 years ago was difficult, just because, my family's from Mexico. I've made a lot of good friends on the Mexican national team. But as I've kind of gotten older, I just realized I need to do what I want to do and not listen to, outside people. And I just knew that was my dream, and I had to go for it.
I imagine the pressure was intense coming from people. Hey, so Sophia, you need to stay here. Or Sophia, here's a reason why you need to stay here. Or Sophia, here's a reason why you need to go. I would imagine you were getting it from all different places.
Pretty much everyone told me just to play for Mexico.
Well, at least you have a lot of friends who are concerned for you.
I know. Even like my family, just, I think people just don't know unless they're, you know, in a lot of things in life. Like, people don't really understand unless they're in the situation, you know. So from the outside looking in, everyone thought that I was just being ridiculous because I could go to a World Cup with Mexico. I could go to the Olympics with Mexico. But for me, it wasn't about going to those tournaments. It was about being the best version of myself, the best soccer player. And it's not that I didn't feel pushed on Mexico, but I felt like to grow as a player and as a person and to be put outside of my comfort zone going for the U.S. was that journey I wanted to take. So pretty, like, honestly, coaches, friends, family, they were like, just play for Mexico, you can change the federation and you can do all this stuff. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go for what I really want to do and prove a lot of people wrong, honestly.
So. Hey, good for you. And I'll, by the way, humans are great at telling everyone else as humans how to live their lives. So we do know that. So I'm glad you relied upon yourself. By the way, Sophia played at Santa Clara, had incredible numbers there when she was in college. And, of course, the Santa Clara Broncos, a number of great players. 81 appearances, 47 goals for her. I want you to tell me a little bit about, and my listeners, about your time at Adelaide United playing down in, I believe that was Australia, and then you went on loan, I guess, to Sydney FC in the W League down there.
Yeah, so about 2 years ago, over 2 years ago now, I went to Adelaide. I think the W League is the only league you can really play in during our off season. If you want to still play in the NWSL, it's the only league that doesn't overlap. So I played for Adelaide. I wasn't, you know, really known at that time. So Adelaide was kind of at the bottom of the table, but it was such a good experience. I feel like I did well there. And so then this past year I was with Sydney, who was known to be a better team. They always make it to the finals. And obviously that was because I played in Adelaide and kind of showed what I was capable of. But this last offseason I played for Sydney, and it was honestly such a good experience. I was playing with the top players like Alana Kennedy, Caitlin Ford. They played for the Matildas, which is the Australian national team. And then I was also with like Danny Colaprico and Savannah McCaskill, who are big names in NWSL. So I got to continue being pushed and being put in situations and just became, I feel like, a better player. You know, my situation's a little different. I was initially asked for the trade to come to Houston so I could play outside back, and that didn't happen, which is fine. But in my mind, I thought, okay, I want to go play outside back in the W League. If there's any league to play in and learn a position and to build your confidence, it's in the W League. So actually this past offseason, I was playing outside back for Sydney, which is the first time I've ever really done that, minus when I was getting called into the national team. So that was also interesting.
Sophia Huerta joining us. You know, when you go to a different country like that, that plays a part in your player development also, right? Going into a situation is not necessarily the most comfortable. You don't know people. It's a different culture. All of that is a part of player development. Is that a yes or a no to that?
Oh, no, yeah. Definitely. You have to, like you kind of said about our preseason with a new coach, like you really they know who you are. You're an international, but you really have to prove yourself and become established there. And it's, you know, always hard to be away from your family and friends, and it's during Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving, so you're kind of missing, well, and my birthday, so you're missing, like, big stuff while being there. But I think it's the best thing to do, just because, for me, I did do an off-season where I didn't go play in Australia, and I felt like it took me a while to get into the NWSL and really, like, start playing well. And so every time I go to Australia, I feel ready and prepared and fit to come into the NWSL season and showcase what I can do, which is obviously the most important thing.
Sophia, who are some of the players that you've modeled your game over your career after?
I feel like specifically, you know, I played with Julie Ertz ever since I was 14. So I've kind of always looked up to her and her work ethic and her ability to just be able to turn it on once the game starts. But I just kind of feel like being surrounded by the players that I'm surrounded by, like, honestly, everyone. Like, I watch what everyone does. I try to watch every NWSL game and see what, you know, I'm watching some of the best players in the world, like Marta and Alex Morgan, and I just always learn from these people who I've been watching, honestly, since I was in high school, which is crazy because now I'm playing in the same league as them. But I also obviously watch men's soccer as well, but I just try to learn as much as I can, and if I see someone do something good, I always think, okay, I'm going to try that.
Sofia Huerta joining us. We got about 30 seconds left, Sofia. Tell us a little bit about the North Carolina Courage and the type of challenge they're going to bring the defending champions this Sunday, 5 o'clock at BBVA Compass Stadium.
Yeah, well, North Carolina, for the last couple of years, has been the top team in the league. They have a lot of U.S. National players, and they found a lot of success. They're one of the only teams who can beat teams by 4, 5, 6 goals. And they're obviously just very good. But I have confidence in our team. I think that James is going to prep us well this week. And I think if you guys decide to come out, you're going to see a lot of goals and hopefully more Houston Dash goals, North Carolina goals. But I can promise you that you'll be very entertained because both teams have quality players.
Yeah, and by the way, my ex-teammate Paul Riley is the coach of the North Carolina Courage. So there you go.
Oh, wow. Well, who are you rooting for?
Oh, I know who I'm rooting for, the Houston Dash. That's not even a question, okay, Sofia. Good. Yeah, I knew you put that on me fast. There. See how quickly I responded?
Yeah, that's good. You didn't even hesitate.
All right. Sofia, what's your number?
I'm number 11.
Okay. Remember number 11, Sofia Huerta, this Sunday, Houston Dash, BBVA Compass Stadium, a team full of international soccer players going to the Women's World Cup in France. Sofia, thank you so much for coming on the program, and we much appreciate you taking the time out.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much.
All right. That's Sofia Huerta, and on behalf of Sofia right now, and Soccer Matters, let's give out a pair of tickets to the Dash. Caller number, tell you what, we're going to give out two pairs. Caller number 2, caller number 4. You get a pair of tickets to the Houston Dash, North Carolina Courage, BBVA Compass Stadium this Sunday, April 28th. So caller number 2, caller number 4 at 713-780-3776. Quick hit before we go to break. My good friends down at Advantage BMW. Go down and see them. Justin, Philip. They get me set up in a BMW. And they've got amazing customer service as well. It's second to none. Advantage BMW in Midtown. Okay, I'm saying Midtown. Advantage BMW. That's where you go to get your BMW. They'll cover you with sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. Get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. AdvantageBMWHouston.com, the Midtown location. Go see Philip and Justin. We'll take a break. More to come here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.